The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Sean Quinn, James Millman and Darren Owen in the studio. It's day two of the St. Ledger meeting at Doncaster, featuring the Sceptre Stakes, the Parkhill Stakes and the Weatherby's Hamilton Insurance £300,000 two-year-old stakes. There's also Chepstow and Epsom in the afternoon, Wolverhampton and Clonmel in the evening, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gareth Topham. How are you, Gareth?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, Mark. Back from a bit of a southern jaunt earlier on in the week, and looking forward to the weekend now. Some fantastic action at Doncaster, of course, and I'll be at Chester myself on Saturday, so a busy weekend.
Yeah, keeping one eye on the ledger, though.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think what they usually do at Chester anyway, they'll play the big race from elsewhere out over the big screen and over the PA. So, yeah, very much looking forward to the St. Ledger. One of my favourite flat races. I don't have many, but I do like the St. Ledger. And it's my favourite one of the classics. And I don't know, there's just all the build-up to it is fantastic. And just the way the race usually pans out, I've actually got quite a good punting record in the ledger. So that's one of the other reasons I quite like it.
Yeah, it always helps, doesn't it?
Looking forward to it, although saying that, this year I haven't got a clue what's going on.
Open, isn't it?
It's a very wide open race, and I think we're going to have plenty of runners as well, perhaps a bigger field than in recent years. So really looking forward to the St. Ledger.
Yeah, so it'll be the biggest field since the 80s in the ledger, which is good news. Bit of news before we move on to Thursday of the St. Ledger Festival. Just going back to the Frankie Dettori Trave situation. Obviously we know Frankie's not going to ride anymore. Thierry Jarnet taking the ride on Trave. He says he doesn't feel any extra pressure, and a little bit of a bonus for Frankie, because he might have felt a bit down after that, but it turns out that Qatar Racing, Al-Shakab Racing rather, have bought half a share in Ektot, which could be his ride in the race.
Right.
Interesting developments.
Yeah, absolutely, and no doubt Dettori would have been pretty gutted, to say the very least, to lose the ride on Trev. And I don't think he'd really done a great deal wrong on Trev myself, but there we go. But yeah, like you say, Ektot now with the Qatar group, and it could well be an interesting contender for the... I mean, obviously Trev is a bit more established. We know a little bit more about Trev. Not too sure how much ability this Ektot has got, to be perfectly honest, but still good that Dettori is going to have a ride in the race. I mean, when he's at his best, Dettori, there's fewer better, even these days for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot has happened, and I think it's probably fair to say that Dettori's best days in the saddle are now behind him. And it's interesting to see how long he's going to keep on riding. But, you know, when he's at the top of his game, Dettori, there's very few which are better than him in a race for all sorts of things. I think tactical awareness, strength. So it'll be great if Ektot can run well for Frankie. Of course, he's ever so popular. He's got a good record in the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe as well. So best of luck to him. But no doubt, yeah, the losing of the ride of Trev would have been a bitter blow.
It would have been, yes, I imagine. We've also got the Irish Champions Week weekend coming up pretty soon, and just reading today that Alcasser is going to be put into the lineup to set a pace for Macadram. Obviously, Australia is still the one to beat in the race, but it's warming up to be a good race, isn't it?
Yeah, it always is a good race, isn't it, the Irish Champions Stakes? It's one of those races which, year on year, it seems to just attract the best sort of middle distance horses around. And we've had Derby winners running this and run really well, win it. Of course, we've got Australia this time around, and he comes into the race, of course, on the back of that really, I thought, quite impressive win at York last time. And the Grey Gatsby, I mean, it'd be great if he goes there, because I really think he's got another great chance of pinching some more very good prize money for Kevin Ryan's yard. They must be getting sick, really, of these races where this horse is sort of playing role of the bridesmaid, because I think if Australia didn't exist, this would be one of the very top horses around the Grey Gatsby. Of course, he won the French Derby, second in the Judmont last time out to Australia. Might have to play second fiddle to him again. It's just one of those things for Connections, but he really is an absolute credit to Connections. Noble Mission, I think, will be interesting if it turns up. Just wonder if a mile and a quarter might be a bit sharp, but they'd probably go a good pace in this, like you say, with the pacemaker as well. I think this race will be a bit beyond Al-Kazim if he turns up. Magician as well, even Mukadram, not overly convinced he's the best mile and a quarter Group 1 horse I've seen this season. I thought it was the way that the Eclipse panned out, I thought it suited him better than a few of the others. So for me, Australia is definitely going to be the one to beat, and it might be a bit of a repeat of what happened at York, because I really think the Grey Gatsby will be there or thereabouts if he runs. But promises to be another cracking race, and it's great as well that this race has been put back to 6:50.
Yeah,
because it's going to be a very, very busy day Saturday. There's plenty of good racing all around the country. And by making this Leopardstown card a twilight card, it never used to be a twilight card. It used to be in the afternoon. It used to go off in amongst hundreds of good races. It gets a real the spotlight on it firmly without any other interruptions. And I think it's fantastic to have the really high quality racing continue into the earlier part of the evening. And it's a great card at Leopardstown on Saturday, full stop. We've got the Boomerang Mile. We've also got the Matron Stakes, which is another Group 1 on the card. That race for the fillies and mares had some very good winners in the past. It's a cracking card, and it's great that it's been put back so that we can enjoy it in its entirety. It's not going to be interfering with anything else which is happening in the afternoon. A stellar day for the sport.
It is. It's a great day coming up this weekend. We've got a good day coming up on Thursday as well, and we'll move on to that next and get Gareth's thoughts on day two of the St. Ledger Festival.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to day two at Doncaster. Gareth got three races lined up for us. The first of them is the 210, which is the Sceptre Stakes, a fillies Group 3 over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got 16 of them in the lineup here, and you could give a number of these a good chance here, Gareth. So what are your thoughts in this?
Yeah, it's a brilliant race. Plenty of really progressive fillies taking part in this. We've got the one mare up at the top as well, Dutch Rose. The one I like, and I think she's going to prove very, very popular tomorrow, is Bragging. Sir Michael Stout and James Doyle. It was just the manner of the way she went and won a race at York last time out. She won it clear cut. She's 3 wins from 5 career starts. For me, she looks the most progressive of any of these that I've seen. And there are quite a few progressive ones in the lineup. I'm a bit of a Token of Love fan as well for William Haggis's team, but I think this is going to represent a bit of a step up. Mutila's done very little wrong. Kiyoshi's come back and has run well a couple of times. The likes of Indignant, she's performed well at this venue in the past. Jay Wonder comes into the race on the back of a win last time. So plenty against Bragging to give us something to think about. Even Valonia down at the bottom for Henry Candy, who's yarder, doing really well at the moment. But I really do think that Bragging is going to be the one to beat here. She's the one filly in this race who I think could go on to even better things. And must be a real joy to be associated with. Before that York win last time out, she'd managed to win clearly at Newmarket. So she's definitely worthy of this step up to Group 3 company, and for me, she is going to be the one who takes the beating. She's going to be pretty popular on the day.
Yeah, plenty to brag about, Bragging in the 210 at Doncaster. We'll move on to the next race, another good race for the fillies. This is the Park Hill Stakes, which is a fillies Group 2. It takes place at 2:40, and it's for 3-year-olds and older over a mile and 3/4. And we've got betting on site for this one as well. Seal of Approval is the 11-4 market leader at the time of recording. Arabian Comet is 5-1. Venus de Mile Earth is 11-2. 8-1 for Criteria and Silk Sari. 12-1 for Moment in Time, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the rest. So Seal of Approval at the top of the betting at the moment. What do you make of the favourite?
She's good, but she's not the full ticket for me. I napped her a couple of outings ago when she ran at Haydock in a race where I looked at the race and I just thought, she's going to win it. Everything was there for her to win that race. I thought she had conditions ideal. The opposition, the way the race was likely to pan out, would have suited her. And she got stuffed. So she's not one that I'll be taking at short prices. She might well win tomorrow. She's a one who's got plenty of ability, a mare with plenty of ability. George Baker is on board for trainer James Fanshawe. And she has to be respected, but just at the likely prices, she wouldn't be for me. I think there's 14 runners in this race, so for me there's enough against her at this Group 2 level to perhaps seek something at a slightly bigger price. The three that I've highlighted, well, I'm a big Arabian Comet fan, only just touched off in the Galtra Stakes at York last time out. That was a really solid and game run, beaten just a nose on that occasion. William Haggas's team are doing really well at the moment as well. So I can see her going well. Silk Sari represents Luca Cumani, Andrea Atzeni on board. So pretty attractive sort of connections here for Silk Sari. This one comes into the race on the back of a listed win at Newbury last time out. Looks worthy of a step up to this sort of grade. And right down at the bottom, Melrose Abbey has been a model of consistency this term. Has a very progressive profile and won really well at Newmarket last time. Another one who I think is worthy of this rising Class 2 Group 2 company. So while Seal of Approval is the one who's got the some of the best form in the book, I just don't trust her at short prices. So I quite like Arabian Comet, who for me does put it all in and might be able to get compensation for that oh-so-narrow and painful defeat at York last time.
Okay, Arabian Comet then in the Park Hill Stakes. And the final race we're going to look at is the 3:15 at Doncaster, the Weatherby's Hamilton Insurance 300,000 two-year-old stakes. It's for two-year-olds over 6 furlongs, and the betting, as we recall, this is headed by Valley of Fire, who's 5-1, Foxtrotter 6-1, 8-1 for Lexington Times and the Great War, 9-1 for Matt Moo, Bonds Girl is 10-1 with Keybar. Heartbreak Hero is 11-1, 14s for Casp, and then 16-1 or bigger prices. The rest, as the betting suggests, 5-1 the field. Very, very open this race, Gareth. So, which ones have made the shortlist?
Yeah, not really my bag, these sorts of races. They're worth plenty of money, but not for me. I'm glad I'm not calling it either. they're going to be everywhere. But we've got some really cracking two-year-olds turning up for this, in all seriousness. The market headed, as you say, they're marked by Valley of Fire. Again, this one representing William Haggas. Andrea Atzeni on board has just had the two runs, so is one of the runners in this race who is less exposed, could be open to any amount of improvement still, and can go well. The one I quite like, a horse I've sort of followed right from the start of the season, really, Casper. I think you said it was around about 14-1. This horse was a winner, a wide margin winner at Newbury right at the start of the season, albeit on quite testing ground. But there appears to be a little bit of cut in the ground at Doncaster. I don't think there's any rain forecast, so it is going to get drier and drier as we build up to Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Casper went to Pontefract a night that I was there, and she got beaten by Bonds Girl, who's a little bit better fancied in the betting for tomorrow's race. But I'm not sure at that moment in time Casper was fully mature enough, really. And then he went for a pretty valuable contest the time after and completely bombed out. I think that came at Royal Ascot. He found that a little bit too hot. But since then, they've gelded him. And he came back and he won really well at Newmarket last time out, where for me, he did look the real deal. He looked something like, again, what the Casper I thought was going to be a superstar, perhaps at the beginning of the season when he routed that field at Newbury. So I think at the likely prices for trainer John Gosden, rider Dane O'Neill, I think Casper could be some good each-way value. I think the conditions of this race, 6.5 furlong, strong gallop, is going to suit him down to the ground. And you want to be looking for horses at good prices in races like this, because, I mean, let's take last year. This race produced a 100-1 winner.
Yeah.
So it can happen. You can get big-priced winners. There's so many runners, there's 22 of them. I thought the Great War was half interesting, although it must be said his only run over 6 furlongs ended in a bit of a disappointing effort. He was second behind a very speedy sort called a Nipper last time out at the Curragh. That was over 5 furlongs. But I think it's interesting that Aidan O'Brien and Joseph O'Brien are teaming up with him in this particular race. They've brought him here as opposed to, you know, perhaps keep him in Ireland, where I'm sure there'll be races suitable for him over the next couple of weeks. We've got a big meeting, of course, at Leopardstown coming up over the weekend. Not sure whether there was anything on that card which would have been overly suitable, but still, they've brought him here for this big pot, so I think his participation gives a little bit of interest. And there are plenty of other really progressive sorts in at the race as well, and some perhaps not so progressive. So at the prices, I'm going to take just a small each way on Casper, who's drawn in stall 13, to be right down the middle. So by learning on day one where the better ground perhaps is, you know, Dane O'Neill will be able to pretty much choose where he wants to go from that stall. It's an ideal draw. He can go far or near side. And as I said, he did look as if he really had got the message last time out. That was his first run since having the gelding operation. I was pretty impressed with what he did at Newmarket last time. So I'll take him at bigger prices in what I think is a wide open race. Like I said, it produced a 100-to-1 winner 12 months ago. So there's no dead cert in a race of this nature.
No, it is tricky. It's open. And Casper is the selection there for Gareth. Let's just have a quick summary, if you wouldn't mind, spinning us through your selections for day two of the Ledger Festival.
Well, the top selection of the three will be in the 210 at the Sceptre Stakes. I'm going to go for Bragging because I really do think that she is going to be a touch too much for these. She could be a lot better than this. In the 240, I'm going to go for Arabian Comet. It's just a model of consistency and looks to get compensation for that narrow defeat last time out at York. And I'll go a small each way on Casper in the big sales race at 3:15.
Okay, good stuff, Gareth. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Thursday. So there you go, thoughts of Gareth Topham on Thursday's racing at Doncaster. We'll bring you all of the action from day two of the St. Ledger Festival. We've also got Chepstow and Epsom in the afternoon. Wolverhampton and Clonmel will provide the action in the evening, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. We'll be live from 1:30 p.m. with Sean Quinn, James Millman and Darren Owen in the studio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.